We're in week four of a series called The Sleeping Giant. We've spent the last 3 weeks trying to awaken the sleeping giant of our faith. It's in there, but it's not doing what it should be. And to be qualified as a sleeping giant means to have the capability to do something great and yet to never utilize it. To have the ability inside and never actually tap into the abilities. And we talked about the grace of God, and how if we really understood the grace of God and all that it covered and all that it means in our life, and it would wake us and move us to a point of doing something big. It would change our whole perspective. We talked about the love of God and how if we really ever understood what scripturally is defined as how much God loves us, then it would change how we love other people and how we see ourselves. And then last week, Pastor Mike so beautifully talked about the heart of God. He talked about serving others because the heart of God is for all to come and know Jesus. And that's why we do what we do. That's why you now know Jesus, because that's his heart, and that's why we've been commissioned to go out and share those things. And I think if we truly understood these aspects of God, then he's the one who saved us, and he's the one that we serve. I think the giant of our faith would become this insomniac. It would come awake, and we'd actually start making the impact that we were called and created to make on this world. So I don't think Christians are making the impact on the world that we were called to make. We were created to do something amazing. Jesus created us, and then he saved us, and he changed us, right? And there was a reason for that, and it was so that we could make an impact on the world. But look around, Christians. There's a lot of sleeping giants, right? I mean, I've been convicted through this series of the giant that sleeps within me. And I kind of live off some of the things that I've done that were risky. I mean, it's easy to kind of live off those moments, but really, like within me, I've become convicted. Do I really understand the grace and the love and the heart of service of God? Is there a giant that's sleeping in me? And I think maybe, because I think it's easy to become very content that I've got God, and that's all I need, and I don't want to bother anybody else. And I think there's this giant that's waiting to be awakened. I think today I want to talk about one more aspect of God. And today was supposed to be the last day. And then we learned a long time ago, you guys don't care. We do. Y'all don't know what our sermon series are supposed to be. And so we used to kind of get bugged out, like if the logo wasn't just right or we didn't have a bumper video. And most of you don't even know what a bumper video is. And the logo had to be right, and everyone had to be 4 weeks and everything. And so we have this preaching plan and this calendar. Mike is so organized, and he has it on the Google Docs, and we all add to and take. Like, we've got this whole thing lined out, and we forget sometimes that y'all don't see that. And so I'm like, but we got it. We can't add a week because we got a new series to start next week, but we're adding to the series. And so today I want to add one that was never originally part of the plan. And we're going to talk about the power of God. We talked about the grace of God and the love of God and the heart of God. And if we ever really understood those things, it would awaken our faith. Today I want to talk about the power of God. Power is this. It's the ability, the right, the authority, the strength, the capability, or the mastery to do or act or accomplish. And today I want to talk about God's ability, right, authority, strength, capability, and mastery to do, act, or accomplish. The power of God. See, people are obsessed with power, aren't we? We like power. We all want it. We all have respect for it. We all wish we had more of it, whether it be physically. I mean, I woke up this morning after canoe tripping for 3 days and trying to play 2 softball games, and I wish I had more physical power, but old age is starting to take over. I wish my knees had more power, but old age is starting to win. Anybody else couldn't hardly roll out of the bed? You won't admit it. Kevin, you just graduated. You're raising your hand. Power is something we want. We want more power in the world, more power over people, more power. We like power. We like the power to vote, right? When we had this big decision back in May, I mean, whichever side you stood on, it was all about you get out and exercise your power to vote. We like the power to choose. We like to have choices. We like horsepower, right? I've watched all y'all's big redneck trucks pulling in the parking lot. I love it. And I'm like, man, that sounds good. I'm standing there smelling diesel fuel. Horsepower. I love it, right? You like it? We like power. That's why we have what we have. We like horsepower, and we like to have sometimes willpower. It's bikini season, right? So we're all exercising a little more willpower because beach trips are coming up. And we like Duke power, right? Because without them, we wouldn't have lights. You know, and the Spice Girls gave us girl power, right? Like it's, we like power, whatever kind of power it is. Power is something that's kind of addicted. You've ever heard people say the power went to their head? You know, they used to be just like us. They got a promotion. The power went to their head, right to their head. We all like it. We all crave it. But I think the most powerful force on earth is kind of the least. It's often the least remembered. It's the least respected. It's the power of God. There's a source of power on this earth available to the earth and for us that often is the one we talk about the least. Look at Psalms 147. Let's just be reminded of the power of the God we serve. Psalm 147, starting in verse 4, it says, "He counts the stars and calls them all by name. How great is our Lord! His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. The Lord supports the humble, but he brings the wicked down into the dust. Sing out your thanks to the Lord. Sing praises to our God with a harp." We have a harp next week. It says, "Sing praises to the God with a harp. He covers the heavens with clouds, provides rains for the earth, and makes the grass grow in mountain pastures. He gives food to all the wild animals and feeds the young ravens when they cry." I think we're so influenced by the environment that we live in, the society we live in, that oftentimes we lose perspective. We become intimidated. We become frustrated by our lack of ability. Apparently, if I can't do it, it can't be done. And so we depend on other people, and we turn to other people who can get it done. And then all of a sudden, we forget just how powerful God is. We become wrapped up in our limitations, and we start putting our limitations on God. And sometimes I think we just need to be reminded how powerful and how involved this powerful God is in our life. Psalm 29:3, it says, "The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. The glory of God thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty sea." The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon's mountains skip like a calf. Isn't that a cool word picture? Like, get that mental picture in your head. Mountains skipping like calves. He says he makes the mountains skip like a calf. He makes Mount Hermon leap like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with bolts of lightning. The voice of the Lord makes the barren wilderness quake. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists mighty oaks and strips the forest bare. In his temple, everyone shouts, "Glory!" The Lord rules over the floodwaters. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength, and the Lord blesses them with peace. Isn't it interesting? The psalmist uses the largest examples that the people would have understood. He talks about the sea. The sea is big. He talks about forests. They're big. He said he strips the forest bare. He talks about mountains skipping like oxen and goats and calves, you know, like big, because he said that's big. He says he twists and splits the mighty oak, the mighty cedar. The psalmist uses the biggest, strongest things that we could imagine. He's saying these are the strongest things. And when I say this and you think strength, oak and cedar and mountain and sea and floodwaters, and you go, that's big, that's powerful. And he says, but just the voice, just simply the voice of the Lord destroys that. At the whisper of the Lord, at the whisper of the voice of the Lord, all those things are powerless. That's how powerful our God is. The mighty cedars don't stand a chance. The mountains don't stand a chance. The mighty oaks don't stand a chance. The floodwaters, they don't stand a chance. And yet we get wrapped up in, can God really do this? And the strongest things we can physically understand. We had a chance this week. Mike and I went with a group to canoe camp and down the new or up the New River. New River is one. I learned this week. It's one of two rivers that flows north. And so I wasn't aware that we started and we were floating towards Virginia, because we put out there like we made it to Virginia, and I laughed like they were joking, but we did. We floated up to Virginia, and so. We got going, and there was this moment when we realized just how powerful the river can be, is when we were in our canoe 1 second, and the next second we were swimming, right? Because the rivers are extremely powerful, and my son's about 70, 75 pounds, and the river took us one way, and I was trying to lean back, and his 75 pounds, and he was saying, "We're flipping, Dad," and the boat's leaning this way, and so he leaned with the boat and started trying to paddle, and he essentially was digging a hole deeper and took us in, and we went in, and everything in our boat went in, and I had this moment where, number one, I thought, I'm going to beat my kid with this paddle. And number two, after I got over it, and there's everybody watching, like, how's the preacher going to respond? I said, "Micah, I love you. I love you." And I just kept saying it until I believed it, right? Because we're wet and cold. And we were floating down the river, and I just couldn't help. You can't help but be blown away. If you've ever been on the New River or any river, just the power and the placement of the rocks and the trees and the strength of the trees and just this incredible experience to be one and be connected with nature. And then we, y'all know, because I brag about it all the time, but we hike to the bottom and back up of the Grand Canyon every year. And every year I walk, and as we walk, I'm blown away by nature that a river, the power of that river that God created that, it made that canyon. And now, you know, miles deep, 10, 12 miles deep is this void in the earth that's been created by something so powerful that God created. And to see those things and to read a verse like this and say, but they're under the control, that thing that would sweep you away, that thing, every year people are reported dead because they tried to swim in the Colorado River at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. Just a tip, if you ever go to the bottom of the Grand Canyon, don't swim in the Colorado River, you lose. Every year it wins, and to see something so powerful that we respect, great, almost fear, don't touch that, don't be near that, stay away from that, it's more powerful than we can handle, that at the whisper of the voice of God, it listens, it changes. God controls the floodwaters, and he twists the mighty oaks, and he makes the mountains that we can't even conquer skip like small cows. This is the God that we serve. This is the power of the God that we serve, and we watch a thunderstorm, and we hear and we see the power of God, but also in the power of God is the delicacy of a small, beautiful rose. And we see the power of God of what he created and what he made. And then we see it then in a provision for our needs. Because we can see it in nature, but we can also then translate it and we can see it in our lives, right? In our day-to-day lives, we see the provision for our needs. We see his grace for my sins. We see his healing for sickness. We pray. Today I was made aware of a friend of one of our awestruck family who is dealing with cancer and is having surgery this week. Just last week, one in our congregation had surgery last Monday for cancer, and we pray for healing. And why do we pray for healing? To make you feel better, to sound like a good preacher? No, because we have experienced healing, and we know that we serve a God who's powerful enough that if it be his will, can remove those things. We see his provision, we see his healing, we see his grace, and we see his peace for our hurts. Yesterday I stood and did a memorial service for a family completely blown away and confused. Just a year ago we did a, and I have no answer. And the answer I gave to the family a year ago and the answer I gave yesterday, when the answer is why, I just said, I don't have a clue. But I know that this didn't surprise God. And I know that God's not going to leave you alone in this moment. Philippians promises that we go to him with everything, and he'll give us a peace that passes all understanding. When things make the least amount of sense, God's peace is more. There's more of his peace that abounds in our life. It doesn't make sense. It goes beyond our comprehension, but that's his power, is to know our needs and to meet our needs. And God's power should be obvious. We see it. And I say these things and everybody nods. That's right. In the rivers and in the nature and in the lives and in the healing. We say, yes, his power is obvious. But man, sometimes the obvious needs to be spelled out. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. We get so wrapped up in what's right in front of me, I can't see past. You know, the molehill, when you walk right up on it, it looks like a mountain, doesn't it? Perspective is everything. And sometimes the obvious, it needs to be spelled out. We need to be reminded. I've told the story, but it's one of my favorite. It's still to this day, I look for these signs. The first time I ever flew out of Dallas-Fort Worth was the first place I ever saw it. and we were in the big old plane, and we're taxiing back. And as we're taxiing back, y'all know it is like a beehive, right? They've got the little golf carts, they've got the vans, they got the car, and they're going around. And so as the plane is taxiing out, I think I was on the window. I told you, when I fly, you better give me the window because I'm looking out the window. I'll sit in your lap of a stranger. I don't care. I'm going to look out the window. And I remember I'm looking out the window, and as we're backing out, real big and real yellow, real big yellow letters with something written that in my mind should not have even needed to be there. It said these words, yield to aircraft. I'm sorry, but if you're driving a golf cart and you need yield to aircraft written down on the road, that's Darwin's theory, man. That's survival of the fittest, right? Like, I'm not a big evolutionist, but Darwin was right in that. That's survival of the fittest. We need a rehire is what we need. If you really think your golf cart wins over the 747, you need a new job. Because the obvious there had to be spelled out, yield to aircraft. And sometimes the obvious things are the things that we most often forget because they're there every day and we take them for granted. And it's the power of God that we need to be reminded of. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 29, Jesus is talking to a group of smart religious leaders and they know everything and they lead the church. And this is what he said to them. Your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures and that you don't know the power of God. They knew how to do church, and they knew how to be religious, and they knew how to look good for people. But Jesus said to him, here's your mistake. You don't know the power of God. This is your issue. The religious leader's mistake wasn't that they weren't trying hard enough. It wasn't that they weren't good enough or giving enough or serving enough. The issue was that they didn't know the power of God. And then Paul gives Timothy a warning. Young Timothy, who's a young pastor, he gives him a warning about the powerless church people. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, it says they'll act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. And he said, stay away from people like that. I love the Message translation. Eugene Peterson gives his own spin in the Message translation of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's read 1 through 5 together. He says, don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse. Sounds like MTV right now, doesn't it? Dog eat dog. That sounds like an old man. My parents used to say, our MTV will get you. And now I watch it, I'm like, that MTV will get you. Money hungry, self-promoting, stuck up. Sounds like the Jersey Shore. Profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog eat dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust and allergic to God. And his spin on verse 5 says, they'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. And he says, stay clear of these people. We need to be reminded in these days that the only power capable of changing the world is the power of God at work inside of you, period. It doesn't take much to look religious. It really doesn't. There's a lot of people sitting in a lot of churches across the United States today who look really religious. We went to that funeral yesterday, and we did a funeral and then a memorial service, and at the funeral was this very old Moravian church, gorgeous, gorgeous, and everybody had on suits and ties and shoes, except your pastor, and I didn't tuck my shirt in. I wore khakis and a little short sleeve button-up shirt. I didn't tuck my shirt in. I had my flip-flops on. And I know when I walk into those situations that people are going to judge me, and that's okay. But it was just interesting to walk in, and I was thinking, I mean, I'm prepared for today, and my sermon's on my mind, and it's a lot on my mind. And as I walk in, and some of the looks, and even some of the comments that I've got, because I got on khakis, and my shirt's untucked, and my flip-flops on, I was a lot more comfortable than all of them in their cheap polyester suits and badly tied, ugly ties. I can tell you that. Well, not that I was judging them while they were judging me, but maybe a little bit. But just the looks, because they all looked religious. And I was thinking about this verse. It's easy to look religious. It's really easy to look godly. It's really easy to look like a good churched Christian. It's easy to pull that off. It doesn't take much. But there's this warning that's giving. Jesus said to the leaders, he said, you don't know the power of God. You got everything else. You just don't know the power of God. And Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, there are those people and they're going to look religious. They're going to appear, have this appearance on the outside, and everyone around them is going to see in them something that's not real because they don't know the power of God that really makes them pure. It really makes them strong. It really gives them the ability to make an impact. And this is the warning, I think, to us, is that those with the sleeping giant would say, I don't really need the power of God at work. I got this. And there's only one power that can make an impact and change this world. And that's the power of God at work on the inside of us. And it's like grace, and it's like love, and it's like the heart of God in serving others. We judge the power of God based on our own human standards. But I want to tell you that the power of God is greater than anything that man could ever think of or invent. It's like comparing a pressure washer. Pressure washers are awesome, right? I mean, they're great, and they're better than a water hose. They're better than your faucet. A pressure washer, clean everything off, and you say, man, that is the strongest thing I've ever seen. Really? Have you ever been to the Niagara Falls? And so to say that the power of God is similar to what we as humans can come up with is like comparing the power of the pressure washer to the power of at the bottom of the Niagara Falls. It doesn't even compare. There's no comparison at all. We can't even wrap our heads around that. Back in 1597, Sir Francis Bacon made a statement that has been used by teachers ever since. He said, knowledge is power. Back in 1597... And I want you to know that knowledge is power, but not you being smart. It's our knowledge of our God. It's a knowledge of who God is and what He's capable of in us and through us and with us. And our prayer is this, that we would understand the mighty power of God. Never to be able to comprehend it. The Scripture says we'll never comprehend it. You can't wrap your mind around it, but what we need to understand are the implications that it has for us, the believer. And I want us to look real quick, in just a few minutes, at Paul's prayer for the power of God in your life and in my life. Ephesians chapter 1, it starts in verse 16. Ephesians 1, verse 16, it says, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly. Can I tell you, as your pastor, I have a list of names I print out, and I don't stop praying for you. I pray for you constantly. When I say, please put on the back of your card your prayer request, that's because I'm going to pray for you anyway. It would be nice if I kind of knew what to pray for. Right? Chris, I just pray for you in general. I don't need you to send me anything. The list is so long. I just go, yeah, all of it. Right? But I am going to pray for you. That's what I want to do. And so I want you to know that. As your pastor, people say, what do you do? What's your most important thing you do? I lead my flock through prayer because I have no insight. And you don't want to follow my example or my advice, I promise. But I can tap into the Heavenly Father and pray for you. But he goes on, he says, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. This is the key, that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that he has given to those he called, his holy people who are rich in his glorious inheritance. Verse 19, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms, and now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body, and it is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. The power of God is available to all believers, but often it just sits unused. Paint is a powerful thing. But the power that's in paint, that you put on walls, the power that lies in paint, it's in the opening and the applying of it. Otherwise, it's just a can. It's a paperweight. It's something that you trip on. It's something that becomes a burden to you. But the power of paint is when we open the can and we apply it, it changes everything. Y'all remember when we moved in this building? Stark white. Remember? And he's probably needs, it's about time for another coat, and it's time to get some things touched up. But stark white, not like just, it was like funeral home white with gold chandeliers, and there was paint. We brought paint in this place. And you know what the power of the paint was? It wasn't in sitting in the floor. It was in opening those cans and applying it to the wall. And a lot of times the power of God, it sits there and it's something we have in our, it's right there and it's available to us, but we've got to actually open it up and apply it in our life for it to work in our life. It's only valid when it's applied. And you can't comprehend every aspect of the power of God. This is not about you studying more to understand the power of God. It's not putting it under a microscope until when I can put my finger on it and wrap my head around it. This is the beauty of the power of God. You will never understand it because it's beyond our comprehension. But what we can understand is how it should change your life. What we can understand is how when it's at work inside of you, it'll change the life of everybody in your world. And it does three things. It has this three impacts, I believe. The first one is this: it draws us into faith. It draws us in and it saves us and it strengthens us. Romans 1, 16 and 17 says, I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It's the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. First the Jew and also the Gentile. And this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As scriptures say, it's through faith that a righteous person has life. Through our faith comes salvation, and salvation came through the what of God? The power. He said, but it was through Jesus, right? That's a pretty powerful moment when God sent his son. That's willpower. And then to raise him up from the dead, that's power like we've never seen. The power of God is what saves us, and it draws us in. And also, and this is huge for me, especially on a day like this. I told Pastor Mike in the back, he said, you doing okay? And I said, man, I'm drained. I'm tired. We canoed for 3 days. We played 2 softball games last night. I attended a funeral. I led a memorial service. I'm emotionally dealing with the loss of a former student who's 27, and we're struggling with all this. I said, it's tough to have a day that I just don't want to be around people when that falls on a Sunday. That's tough. That's tough. So one day of the week I work and all I wanted to do was stay in bed because I'm emotionally and physically and just kind of wiped out. But this is why I couldn't wait to get here today, because I know this, is that the power of God, it works best when our weaknesses. It's when we're weakest that God is usually at the strongest. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 through 10 says, 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away, and each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Verse 10 said, that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and hardships and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We have people that sit in our congregation on a weekly basis that struggle with addictions. They struggle with insecurities. They struggle with physical limitations. They struggle mentally. There is emotional turmoil that's taking place every single week. And it's that those are the things we often try to cover up. Remember this whole concept of trying to look religious but losing the power? It's when we try to look religious is when we try to pretend like we got no issues. I got news for you. I know most of you, and there's more issues in this room than most pastors want to handle. I promise. And that's why I love it here. That's why I love pastoring this church, because I am jacked up. As a human being, I am prideful and I am arrogant and I am quick-tempered and I'm a failure as a father most days. And ask my wife, I stink at being a husband more than I do it right. And I am just jacked up. But so are you. And none of us walk into this room with any like expectation of anybody. I hope we're creating an environment that none of us walk into this room with any expectation other than we would allow the grace and the forgiveness and the love and the power of Jesus Christ to be at work in our lives. Because that's what being a human who loves Jesus is all about. It's about being forgiven. And it's about me forgiving you and you forgiving me and us lifting each other up and guiding each other spiritually so that we would grow in our knowledge of Christ and in our weaknesses that we should boast about, God is strongest. And the power of God is something we miss a lot because we don't want to admit that we're weak. I'm telling you right now, I am weak. I very rarely stand in the pulpit when I'm having a bad day and pretend like I don't, do I? Some of you get tired of hearing it like, oh, he's upset again. There he goes again. He had another bad week. Because I can't. It's not who I am and it's not how I'm built. I can't stand here and smile and pretend like everything's okay when everything's not okay. I wear my emotions on my sleeve and on my face. I could never lie good. I'd say something and my dad would be like, you're lying. What really happened? I'm like, how could you tell? He's like, your face, man. You just told me the real story. I can't lie good. You know what I like about most of you? I don't think you can either. And in our weaknesses, in our honesty, and in our weaknesses, we boast. Not that we live in our sin and we're proud of it, but in our weaknesses. The things we just can't do emotionally and physically and spiritually and mentally. I can't overcome this. This is my weakness. He says that in my weakness, he is strongest. And that's the power of God. And then thirdly, I think the power of God gives us this reason to be joyful and praise at all times. Life stinks. Praise. Everything's gone wrong that was supposed to go right, praise him. Everything's going great. That's easy. I had a great week. Found a $100 bill, bought a house, sold a house, got engaged with a big $25,000 ring on your finger there. That's awesome, Cody. If y'all haven't seen Lindsay's ring, dear Lord, that is a beautiful ring. You know, everything's great. So let's praise him. But it's in those moments of, I don't know how we're going to survive or what's going to happen. That's the moments when we still, it gives us reason to praise. Psalm 21:13 says, we praise you, Lord, for all your glorious power. That's why. That's why we praise him. We praise you, Lord, for your glorious power. Nothing else. Not because of my circumstantial, situational place that I am in life, but God, we praise you, and here's why, because you're all powerful. And the power of God not only draws me into faith and saved me through his grace and strengthens me, it works through my weaknesses, but no matter where I am or what I'm facing or what my deal is, no matter, I have reason to praise. Why? Because of God's glorious power. It says we praise you for all your glorious power with music and singing. We celebrate your mighty acts. And I'm telling you that the power of God at work through you will awaken a sleeping giant and it will fill it with a terrible resolve. A resolve to do this. A resolve to live that life of change. Live a life that's full of the power of God flowing through you and all for the glory of God. We just want to wake it up. I want it awakened in me. I hope you sit here and you want to be awakened. I hope you're hearing this and going, that's what I'm missing. I came to Christ because I needed salvation, because I knew I was a sinner who needed a Savior. But now you're walking in Christ and we want to see it awaken. We want to see you become dangerous. We want to see the giant wake up and roar and shout to where you make the impact in this world that you are called to make. And that's it. And you say, well, that's great, Josh, but how do I get the power of God? Where does that come from? The best answer I can tell you is this: prayer. I don't know how to better tell you. I mean, we could read scripture and learn and grow in our knowledge, but the reality is that, man, without prayer, we don't have the answers. And so I just want to close us out on this day doing just that. I want us to pray. And I want you to pray with me that God would awaken a giant inside of you, who would awaken the faith inside of you. And we would just see his power in this built in our congregation, in our community, for this land and the people you work with and your family. The power of God would reign and be working through you like never before. So let's close and let's pray.